I thank the Lord for all that he means to me. Glad to be his child. In my kitchen, I have a three-ring binder, and in it is tried and true recipes. And it's ones that I type up on large paper so that I can see them well. I used to try to keep up with writing them on a little index card, but I just didn't do very good with that. And I had so many wonderful recipes, and I've been given so many wonderful recipes. And I tell you what, a good recipe is worth its weight in gold. And thinking of that, the Lord has given something special to us here tonight. It's really just the nuts and bolts of a godly experience with the Lord and life, just life. So I wanted to give it here tonight, not as a chastisement, but it's a recipe for encouragement. So that's what I'd like for us to deal with tonight. I almost thought about calling it encouragement casserole. David found himself in a very close place. 1 Samuel 30 and 6. I'd like for us to read. David had a massive responsibility, and yet he had a heart for the Lord. It says he was a man after God's own heart, and I've appreciated that because there were places that he was in that was dark and that was dreary. And I want us to understand that you'll have places of dark and dreary. If you haven't had one, just hold on, you will, because that's life. The song that we just sang, life is filled with swift transitions, and that is, you're going to have high times. And that's great, but you're going to have low times, and that's okay too. So I'd like for us to understand that these things don't last forever. So 1 Samuel 30 and 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. They had come back to home, I guess you would say, and found that the city had been burned down. Their sons and their daughters and their wives had all been captured. And now everyone's mad at David, as though it was David's fault. Have you ever been in those places where the whole world's crashing around you? And you, through no fault of your own, the whole world's crashing around you, but suddenly it's your fault? That's what he was facing, and that's a hard place to be in. And there are going to be days that you feel like the whole world loves you, but then there are going to be days you feel like the whole world hates you. It's just life. That just presents itself in that way. We have emotions, and we have response to emotions that others give us, and because of that, we're going to have these times. So when you're in this low time, understand that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There was no one else around that could do that for him. And that's why I want us to look into Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 2nd verse. So our first ingredient is going to be look to Jesus. The second verse, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're just going to stop right there. That little phrase right there. Do you know you can run to Jesus when you have victories? But you can also run to him in times of great despair. Because it said Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Do you know when you came to an altar of prayer that started your salvation experience with the Lord, and the Lord was right there with you, wasn't he? And he's going to be with you every step of the way till you've drawn your last faithful breath. He said he would be the author But he would also be the finisher of your faith. When that book says the end, he will be right there with you in between all those times. In those times of uncertainty, in those times of ups, and those times of down, the Lord will be right there with you. And there's no one that can give you that kind of courage and that kind of strength like Jesus can. There's no one. You can. They have all kinds of things to help in these down times. Different things, talks, self-improvement books, therapies, the medicines. There's different things, but when you can look to Jesus, he will give a perfect cure for your down times. He can do that, but you have to realize only he can do that. You can't depend on your spouse. It's not that they're not there for you, but there are times that your encouragement can only come from the Lord because you're the one facing this. It's not that they're being unfaithful or that they're not paying attention. Your children, your family, your friends, your church friends, there are just going to be times they will not be able to be with you in that dark time. But Jesus will. When you think about all the times that the people of God faced hard places, there was an angel there to shut the lion's mouth. Jesus himself was there in the midst of the fire. When the Israelites were facing that Red Sea and they were feeling the challenge of that, not knowing what to do, the Lord sent a cloud, remember? And it gave light to the children of Israel. And I don't know what the distance was apart, but the Egyptians could not see the Israelites at all. They could not because there was a darkness. The Lord will stand between you and the things that can harm you. The Never Alone song that we have is at 489. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. And he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. So you're going to have to rest and trust in that. I've thought a lot of that Footprints poem. It was then that I carried you. This is going to be a time you're going to have to let the Lord carry you. Because there's times you can't go on in your own strength. But he will gladly do it, and he can do it. He's not too busy for you. And I'm thankful for that. The next one is darkness is only temporary. I know in times of affliction, nighttime, you dread it. You dread the sun going down because somehow your battle is going to be more intense at night. But how wonderful it is when you start seeing the shadows and the light and the gray appear to eventually see a sunrise. So I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms, the 30th chapter, and the fifth verse, Psalms 30 and 5. It says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Understand that this place that you're in is only temporary. It will not last forever. It will not last. That's only in hell. It will last forever in hell, that darkness. But these ups and these downs are really, even the ups are temporary. You're not going to be there long either. It's just life. It's just life. But the valleys that you're in, that darkness that you can't see your hand in front of your face, it is only temporary. It will not last forever. The next understanding that we need to have is surround yourself with cheerfulness. Even though you may not have it yourself, it helps to build an environment of cheerfulness. This is not the time to sing, Jesus, I my cross have taken. It's just not a time to sing that. And that's in Proverbs, the 17th chapter. There are lots of cheerful songs in the Evening Light Songbook. There are a lot of just cheerful little folk songs if you want to sing one of those. Zippity-doo-dah is an awfully good one. simply because it can get you. Those things are incredibly powerful when you're in that low time. It says in 17 and 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And while you're not feeling very merry, you can surround yourself with things that are cheerful, whether it be the environment that you're in. If you're in a closed area, open the curtains. Do something to let the light in. If you can't do that, get out and drive in a car where there's sunshine. Find a place of cheerfulness. Find that. Understand that a good book, something that is not one that has a sad ending, but one that you've read before and you know has a happy ending. It helps to get your mind off of yourself, basically. It's a way to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's a way to bring yourself out of the valley. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I'm so thankful for that. And then the other one is... It's very close to this one. It's fine sunshine. Oregon is a beautiful place, but it doesn't have as much sunshine. I've heard that people have seasonal depression because of that. They have a lot more dealings with that. And that I remember Adina, when she moved from Oregon back here, she said, I forgot how much sunshine Oklahoma had and how much I needed it. So she has moved back here. Ecclesiastes 11 and 7 cements that a bit for us. But don't get me wrong, because I love Oregon. So Ecclesiastes 11 and 7, it says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Find some sunshine, whether it would be maybe a bouquet of sunflowers, a bouquet of daisies, a drive, like I said, a drive in sunshine, a drive to a place that has a lot of sunshine, a drive, or maybe even pictures in your houses that depict sunshine. There's something about that light that when the Lord described anything in his heaven, he never used darkness. If you think about it, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he peeled away his humanity, what was it? It was light, a glistering. His robe was a glistering white. It was something bright. In heaven, it's described as there is no night there. Weeping may endure. So eternally, we have a lot to look forward to because we won't have these down times. Our humanity will be lost in eternity, and I'm so thankful for that. We will be able to rejoice and enjoy a light eternally. So there's no night there. Jesus is the light. There's no need of the sun or the moon because Jesus is the light. And that light is so incredibly bright that we're not going to need darkness to keep us rested anymore. You have to have nighttime here on earth, but you won't need that there. It's not going to be needed. But the Lord created in us while we're here times of brightness, but times of darkness, because he also knew we needed to find a place of appreciation for those bright things when we have the dark times. I'm not ever going to pray that I never have a dark time, because I understand that is part of life. And there are going to be weeks that you feel it and weeks that you don't. And this is just a part of it. But we can trust in a God that takes care of us thoroughly. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse. This is another thing. When you're feeling so completely broken and you don't know what else to do, think outside of yourself and do something for someone else. The Lord knew that for us to live to ourselves was dangerous. So I want to read that. Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Find something to do for someone else. And I'll give you a little example. When I was a young teenager, the tragedy that happened in our family was great. And I remember September was the time of separation, and it was that September and that October were hard months because it was still kind of a secret. Nobody knew about it. But by November, I remember my mother saying, "We're going to do something." And in December, every Sunday, we had a Sunday school class to our house to have a Christmas party. So we had the primary class one Sunday, the second Sunday we had the junior class, and the third Sunday we had the young people class, which by that time we were young people, so that was our group. But us doing something outside of ourselves helped that holiday season so much. And I thought the wisdom of my mom, so serve someone else. It was a help to all of us. So our focus was no longer inward, but it was outward. And I appreciate the wisdom of that. So all of these things combine thoroughly. Repeat if necessary. And serve generously. And the Lord will see you through. Just like this message this morning. I thought, what a beautiful message, because it said through. The Lord will see us through. Not to. He didn't say he'd take you to the river. He said he'd take you through the river. I desire that you pray for me.